Shalom Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, your co-host, along with my wonderful partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my dear, and may you all enjoy the peace that only our Lord can provide, regardless of our circumstances and surrounding inhibitors. Let us praise Him.
Abba, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, we totally praise You and exalt Your holy name. In these uncertain days, we continue to hold on to our faith, for You have said You will never leave us nor forsake us, for what can mere mortal do to us? You alone are our refuge and our strength, as we anxiously await that awesome shout to come up hither. Until then, we will always serve You while exercising our patience as our future rewards accumulate. Bless the listeners tonight, watch over our president, and continue to speak, especially in these days, to the hearts of our lost loved ones. May their ears hear what Your Spirit says to their hearts. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I have to begin tonight by saying that these ongoing foreshadows of the tribulation just keeps on coming. And, of course, we've addressed the signs often. But now, just yesterday, and it's, of course, been all over the news, you know, about these at least 2-inch deadly pests called murder hornets. And they're likened to scorpions in that if they sting you, which, by the way, their stinger can actually expand from inside their bodies to penetrate through one's clothes. And its venom produces a distinct smell to other hornets nearby to make a beeline, excuse the pun, to the victim who could easily die if stung just a few times. So what does that remind you of?
Sounds like Revelation 9. That's pretty serious. Are they from Asia originally?
I hear from Japan and China. It makes me wonder if maybe some bioengineering has taken place here. But they probably boarded a ship somehow, or maybe have shown up in states such as Washington, I understand.
And heading east.
Correct.
Their main diet are beehives.
Right. But they also decapitate the bees and carry the carcass back to their young'un for food. You know, as you all know, we need the bees for pollination. And they're already suffering, these bees, from all the pesticides and the cell tower radiation, the chemtrails. And now they're being eaten.
Yeah, you know, if that continues, we'll soon have famine here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's scriptural, too. And now it looks like we might have a meat shortage. It's just amazing to see all the many signs, although on a smaller scale, praise God, but will happen on a larger scale, as Revelation says it will. We are now in what I call the pre-labor time called false labor.
Or Braxton Hicks contraction, as you always say.
I do. It shows my age. Okay, let's visit Revelation 9, since we're on the topic, and take a look at those huge flying insects that actually come from the bottomless pit when an angel, symbolized by a star, opens it with a key. Let's begin in verse 2, please.
And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree.
Okay, so that's the locust's usual food, as we know. And actually, we have witnessed a return of these locusts lately, especially in the southern hemisphere. And I'm told they can eat in 24 hours, the same as 35,000 people can eat in the same time period. It just amazes me. So when I saw the pictures of these hornets on TV, Revelation 9 came to my mind immediately as still another precursor. And you know, the Old Testament speaks of them coming in the last days as well in Joel 2, which I guess we could look at in a minute. But first, let's finish Revelation 9. I think we're in verse 4.
They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only harm those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead.
And we know from Revelation 7 that those with the seal are the 144,000 Jews who are quickly saved and are evangelizing. So let's go to verse 5.
And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them.
Okay, so these locusts are not allowed to harm the 144,000 Jews because of God's seal of protection. And then they can only sting the others for 5 months, which would not kill them. But the stings are so agonizingly painful that they wish they could die. You know, I have read that the sting from these murder hornets is also extremely painful. So let's pick it up again in verse 7, which gives a further description of these coming hornets from hell.
Okay. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months.
Isn't it interesting that Noah's flood waters, according to Genesis 6:24, also lasted 5 months on earth before receding? We know that number 5 is the number for grace, but in judgment, God's grace for unrighteousness, well, it has run out. Anyway, so before we read verse 11 of Revelation 9, I also want to point out a scripture that it seems perspective or perceptive anyway, and that's in Proverbs 30, verse 27.
The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks.
It's interesting that Proverbs would point that out. And we'll see these ranks when we read Joel's last day's prophecy. But in Revelation 9, we see these creatures, or scorpion-like locusts, do have a king that rules over them, but only to a point. We see that God has the ultimate control, for they cannot kill, but rather cause excruciating pain, which helps us to keep in mind that this tribulation that's coming is God's wrath. Satan rules over a lot, which makes him think he can win, but our God reigns. Satan, who has many names, is only a puppet in reality. Verse 11.
And these locusts had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Our woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things.
Okay, let me ask you, do you have a burden for the unsaved yet? Well, you should. I mean, you really should. Okay, we're going to take a look at Joel 2 after this brief message.
Okay, you can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering. And we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, Joel 2, it begins by blowing the trumpet in Zion, which sets the timing and the clock starts ticking. Therefore, it should make you think of the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15 and, of course, 1 Thessalonians 4, that begins the day of the Lord at our rapture, which begins the seventh millennium from Adam. Now, this 1,000 years of time will begin our honeymoon in heaven for 7 years, while the tribulation, or day of darkness and gloominess, is happening on the earth. We see in Joel that he also describes there being locusts. But these locusts bring fire as well, which makes sense if they're from the bottomless pit. Okay, honey, verse 3 of Joel 2.
Okay, a fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses.
Of course, we saw that in Revelation 9:7.
And like swift steeds, so they run. With a noise like chariots over mountaintops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them, the people writhe in pain.
Of course, from being stung.
All faces are drained of color. These locusts run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks.
Hmm.
They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column.
Wow.
Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief.
Jeez.
The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his enemy.
His army? Okay, whose army is that? It's the Lord's army.
For his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?
Okay, let me ask you again. Have you gotten that burden for the lost yet? Well, you should. I have a great idea. Why not read the next person that you're witnessing these scriptures that we've been reading today from Revelation 9 and Joel 2? You know, I point out the fact that this is God's long overdue actual wrath. I continue to point that out again because I have heard some teachers call the tribulation Satan's wrath. Oh, he'll take advantage and never let a crisis go to waste. But he is just a player in all this. And we know the end of the story. Praise to our King. Satan's reign, well, it will end. In the meantime, during these pandemic foreshadows, you know what? You should read Psalm 91 a lot. It's really very good, and it will comfort you. I suggest that you memorize at least parts of it. In fact, honey, you picked out a couple lines that you thought would be good to memorize for today.
Yeah, I will. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence.
You know what? You can use these words as rhema unto yourself. For he has promised never to leave us or forsake us, and we say that all the time, but it's true.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we had a couple of questions concerning Israel. How are they handling the COVID-19, and what about Trump's peace plan? Is it going anywhere?
Well, the peace plan has been 99% done for quite a while. They're just waiting for the right time to present it. Of course, that will be on God's calendar as well. But Israel will annex some parts of Jerusalem. But unfortunately, they will give some land to the Palestinians. Now, what's interesting is that the Palestinians, they don't want Israel to annex anything, even if in return they get land, because they, at some point, plan to take it all. That is what they've always wanted to do. Now, in the meantime, COVID-19 has, well, they've kind of shown less partiality to Israel, because there's been few deaths and few cases. So much so that right now many more Jews have applied to make Aliyah from the United States and Europe. And, of course, we know that anti-Semitism continues to gain strength as well.
Yeah, it's amazing how God can make lemonade out of lemons.
And fulfill his word, as in Ezekiel 20, verse 34.
I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered, with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out.
And there are many just like that as well. Now, what is sad is that I just read where Israel is now funding the adoption of foreign children into homosexual homes, knowing that many men are also pedophiles. You know, Jesus said in Luke 17, better for a millstone to be hung around the neck of those who cause harm to children.
Yes, it's time for judgment.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you heard, oh my, everything is falling apart? I say, nope, everything is falling into place.
Yeah, the globalists have sure perked up.
I know. They are fear-mongering and happy as a lark doing it. Since the days of Plato, they have desired population reduction and control of the people. Abortion, although it has killed millions, just isn't fast enough for them. They need a pandemic, which of course is the problem, that causes reaction, and then in swoops the solution, as in the vaccines.
The Hegelian dialect.
That's good.
Close, huh?
Yeah. I read where these vaccines, which by the way, have been ready for a long time, but they have to make you think they are hurrying to get it done to save the people. But from what I read, likely, they could contain these nanobots that actually replicate once in the body to change your DNA, like injecting artificial intelligence into your blood to go to the brain where your thinking will be as they program you to think. It's very high tech and actually pretty unbelievable to our righteous minds.
You know, it's just really hard to imagine such evil.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're playing God, and that's what they expect they can be.
Yeah, true.
We are on the verge of excessiveness and perplexities that are scarcely dreamed of. So, will they make you take the vaccine? Or you can't go outside? Could there be a civil war?
Well, Matthew 24 says yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have to admit it's tempting to be scared, confused, frustrated, worried, even very angry over the events of the past months. I've never seen anything like it in my many years. COVID-19 and the shelter-in mandate has not only been inconvenient and disruptive, but downright psychologically damaging for many who don't understand what and why this is all happening. And the loss of lives is grievous. And also the loss of income and businesses is beyond determination yet. Because poverty kills too. America might never be the same, as prophesied in Jeremiah 30:11, especially if this virus doesn't fade out or happens again, as the globalists insist that it will. And we can't help but wonder how it is that all over the world governments are putting into effect the same regulations. Does it seem a little strange that almost every nation on earth, all about the same time, has united in this fight against an unseen foe that should take actually many months normally to spread. And in the decision to put their citizens under house arrest, well, it raises many questions in my mind, and I think yours, about ruining our liberties and our self-determination. But let's not lose our equilibrium. Let's not forget that you and I have a purpose, a vision. We cannot let anything distract us. You know the mission. God has called you and me to reveal Him to a world that needs Him more now than ever before. A world overpowered by the delusions of the enemy and its many deceptions. He's given His most precious commodities to us. Love for others and His truth to share. Again, our mission is to evangelize. He's opened the door, and they need to know what happens after this life. Because there are lots of theories, traditions, and outright deceptions out there, but we know what really happens. We have the answers. So to offer them the real truth, founded in divine love 2,000 years ago on a cross covered in blood. And to whom much is given, to Him much is required. You know that. He is our Father, and fathers desire to reward their children. So add to your rewards by storing your treasures in heaven. Every time you tell someone about the Lord, He writes it in the book of remembrance, because He's going to open it one day to show you when He gives you your rewards. In fact, I'm going to read it since I have a minute. It's from Malachi 3:16, 17, and 18. It says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another." That's you and me, folks. We talk to one another about the Lord. It goes on to say, "And the Lord listened and heard them." He hears us. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. "They shall be mine," says the Lord of hosts, "on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him." There it is, folks, and we're getting real close to standing before Him at the beam of judgment. So let me leave you tonight with final words. What about you? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus intimately? If yes, then get a burden for those who will be left behind. We've just talked about how awesome and terrible it's going to be. This is how we store our treasures in heaven. And I'll probably tell you that a lot in the following months as we curiously wonder, could this be the year? It very well could be. Let me leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that true shalom. Till then, sha'alu shalom, Yeruzalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. We're going to be there someday, and that's why we're going to love her. Jesus is going to be king, and He will rule from Jerusalem, and we will be with Him. And that's Psalm 122, verse 6. Don't forget, of course, to keep praying for the president, that he fulfills God's will, whatever that is. Till next time, shalom. Love ya.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.